Hello, and welcome to the ADHD Manual Podcast. My name is Abby Miner. I'm a marriage and family therapist, an ADHD certified clinical services provider, and a proud ADHDer. This is a podcast for people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and those who love us, which covers pretty much everybody. Growing up with a colorful brain in a black and white world can make us feel like aliens. The manual we've been given to guide us through life doesn't have any diagrams of the parts we've been given. I've decided to stop throwing away my parts and start throwing away this useless manual to write my own. So kick off your shoes, have a seat, and take a break from fitting yourself into a mold that's not your shape. You belong here. Allies, welcome to the ADHD planet. ADHDers, welcome home. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode. I love how I say everyone, knowing full well I have maybe three listeners. Well, those three of you, I love you very much. Thank you for joining me today. Today, I'm going to post more material from my conversation with my brother Joe. We talk a little bit more about rejection-sensitive dysphoria, but we also circle around to some other interesting topics as well, such as emotional hyperarousal, distraction, coping strategies we use, things like that. I hope you enjoy. I think it's great that we're talking so much about RSD, because that is definitely consistently one of the things that I hear strikes people the hardest and is the most, what people spend the most time on. Especially as adults, I think.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think there's a lot of adulthood, I mean, that sucks, but also is great about, like, we do have a little more control over crafting our own lives. Yeah. And so maybe the other parts of, like, the interest-based nervous system and, like, the, you know, getting by in school thing doesn't apply to us as much anymore. But the RSD is something that really sticks and just keeps showing up. And it's almost like worse for adults because it is so primitive, it literally feels like you're like a 3-year-old being kicked in the gut.
Yeah.
So it's just something so childlike about it. And so it's like this awful feeling. And then it's also wrapped up in this shame of like, I'm a grown ass adult. I shouldn't be thinking like this. I shouldn't be feeling like this. Like, so it's something that comes up all the time.
Yeah. 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 It's super. And it is kind of, especially in interest and importance space, like when in adulthood things become less and less interest based, or we have less and less choice to do things that we're interested in, you know? I mean, but also we're surrounded by rejection.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. I mean, I think we just have less and less opportunity, you know? And more and more rejection.
Yeah. I think it just depends on what parts of ADHD hit you the hardest and hold you back the most, because I hear, and maybe this is, I'm not trying to, like, divide us up into more groups, or say, like, one group of ADHDers is more successful than the other or something. I'm not right trying to say that, but I think it's interesting, like, what strikes people the hardest and what they spend the most time on, like, which of these, like, you know, just three groups of aspects of ADHD. And I think what people stick the most on is what has held them back the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, for whatever reason, I mean, for some people, like, they feel like they have not gotten far in their lives. Like, they haven't, you know, gotten far enough in their career, or they haven't been able to finish schooling, and you know, holding a job is really tough for them. So I think maybe, like, the interest-based nervous system strikes them the hardest, because that's why, like, they feel like they haven't, you know, they haven't progressed enough in adulthood as they feel they should. And then with other people, I think maybe they have, for whatever reason, whether it's, I know, like, for me, like, I just happened to do really well in school. Like, it's just something just happens like that. Like, it's just a chance, you know? It's who you get paired with. It's who, like, you know, like, teachers and classmates and stuff. And sometimes it's just
whether school is interesting to you. I think I looked out because I do think that a lot of school was interesting to me. And so I kind of skated by undetected for a long time. And so it was the emotional aspects of ADHD that made me feel like, why am I not farther in life than I feel like I should be? You know, and so I wonder if that's part of, like, why a lot of people who have made it this far in adulthood and who are getting newly diagnosed as adults, you know, because I hear all the time, like, no one will diagnose me with ADHD because they say that if I did well in school, then I don't have it. And we know that's BS.
Right.
But, yeah, but I think that is, that's why I want to, I spend so much time talking about these emotional aspects of ADHD because no one talks about them. They're really hard to quantify and research, but they are what especially adults, I feel, get held back by the most.
Yeah.
And I think it's very freeing to know what's going on. Because I do think I've gotten a lot farther in my life now that I know more about it. So anyway, I think it's good that we spend so much time on RSD because it is something that really hits hard with adults, especially.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it is something that we need to become more in tune with, right? Because I mean, we're, and it's not even the rejection, right? I mean, it could come in, like, I don't want to say the silliest of forms because that kind of diminishes it, but like sometimes when we rationalize things, it doesn't make a lot of sense, right? And so, like, being able to just more so justify our feelings, like, we don't do that enough, you know? We don't listen to initial feelings. We're constantly like, oh, no, like, that's, you're just hysterical, or like, you know, like, you're overreacting.
Overreacting, or, oh my God.
Exactly.
Subtitle of my memoir. You're overreacting.
Yeah, right, yeah. And in my case, you're underreacting, right? Because I shut down. So it's like, why aren't you reacting like I want you to? It's like, you don't care about me, so. So it's, yeah, I think it's something we don't bring attention to enough, you know? And so, but I do think that, like, I just realized that I was trying to maybe transition a little bit to emotional hyperarousal.
No, that's so funny, because that's what I was thinking. That's what, I'm glad that you were there, too, because I'm glad you brought up, like, underreacting, because I do think that that fine balance, and I think that shows up in every part of ADHD, of, like, I'm either overreacting or underreacting.
Yes.
There's, like, the real issue with ADHD is regulation. It's not that we don't have enough attention.
Right.
It's not that we don't, like... that we suffer from, like, a lack of whatever, you know? It's just our inability to budget that out in a way that is productive and, like... Oh, I hate the word productive. But, you know what I mean? Like, that, you know, it serves us, right? And it feels like something very much out of our control. And I think that does show up a lot in emotional hyperarousal, that, like, either over or underreacting, being very, very sensitive to some things, and then, like, not... cluing in enough to other things, right? You see what I mean?
I do. Can you give me an example of, like, not cluing in enough to some things?
Yeah, so, like, what comes to my mind is stimulation a lot. Like being, I often find in an environment I'm either over or under stimulated, so I can be, I probably tend to drift towards overstimulated. I don't find myself kind of, like, unraveling in an understimulating environment very often, but I know people who are. That kind of feeling of, like, I need, so, like, either overstimulated, like, there's too much sound around, there's too many thoughts in my head, there's too much, you know, visual stimuli going by, there are too many people needing my attention, I'm overstimulated, or I'm understimulated, like, I feel like I need to do or watch or listen to something or else I will burst out of my skin.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's where I feel like the label, like, fidgety, like, comes out, right? Yeah. So, like, needing to fidget with something or needing to, you know, play with your pen or, you know, like, write something down or play a game while you're listening to something or like whatever the case may be. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Or even like, I don't know if I, and it's interesting because I don't feel like you drift towards that direction as much as I do. That kind of needing a lot of things at once.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't feel like you're often like, you know, I don't see you a lot of, like, watching TV, like, also playing a game, like, also texting or something like that, whereas I do that all the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But you don't feel that as much. So do you really tend to, like, overstimulate more, or...?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I definitely tend towards that overstimulation where, like, it... And it's really interesting because it might just be how those sounds... or how sounds and things kind of pop in my head.
Mm.
Like, when that stimulation is there, and I feel like I have a kind of a hyper-awareness of small stimuli.
Mm.
So it's like, I don't need stimuli to kind of, whatever the case may be, to make me feel, like, a little bit more clued in. It's that, like, there's too much stimuli everywhere, and I need to focus on one thing in order to block that out.
Mm.
And so, like, if I am playing a game or something, like, I love just losing myself in a game.
Because
then, like, or if it's something that has all of my attention, like, that's why I love movies, too.
Mm.
Like, I love movies and TV shows, and I feel like I'm pretty... I love picking apart TV shows and like the character relationships, character development, that kind of thing. Like, I love being able to pick that stuff apart. Like, even if I hate the TV show, like, I'll be like, if you sit me in front of a TV for long enough and that's my stimuli, I will pick that apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just lose myself in that stimuli. Or in that stimulus, rather. It's not multiple stimuli, yeah.
Yeah.
In that stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just lose myself in that stimulus to feel comfortable.
Mm. Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. I feel that of, like, especially in, like, a restaurant.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Even if I hate whatever is on TV, like, it's always golf. Why do people always want to televise golf?
Why?
Nothing happens. I hate it with a passion. But if it's on, I will watch it. Like, because it's constantly moving. It's moving, it's moving, it's their sound. It's like, oh, that's where my attention has to be.
Yeah.
And it's like picking the right stimulus is so difficult.
Yeah.
And takes so much of our attention.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And that's so funny that you, as another kind of having a similarity that results in difference. Because, because I don't really like movies that much. Mm. I mean, I do. There's movies that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of a social thing for me. I think I need to be watching movies with other people. I never watch movies by myself.
Mm.
Whereas, like, I will watch a TV show by myself for 7 hours, but then the thought of, like, sitting by myself and watching a movie for 2 hours, I'm like, that's excessive. One thing for 2 hours? I don't know.
Yeah.
That sounds fake.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just something about it that, yeah, it's the TV show has, like, segments and can, I don't know, divide my time, maybe, or, like, my attention into segments that I can't do on my own.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Because you, like, when you think about an episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if something's split up in episodes, then you have a little in-between. And you have, like each episode, though they could be chock-full kind of thing, they could be, like, really... meaningful episodes, but it's manageable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and it's kind of like I almost equate it to, like, eating a burger or something, right?
Hmm.
You know, like, you're not gonna eat the whole burger in one bite, like because that's just not enjoyable.
Yeah,
like, you want to take little bites.
Mm-hmm.
You take little bites, and, like, and it's just 100 times better than the whole burger will ever be, is that single bite.
Hmm. Yeah, totally. And it helps you kind of focus on one thing at a time and is, you know, it does it for you rather than having to be like, oh, man, if I eat this whole burger at once, then I have to enjoy every piece of it at once. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of pressure. So right. I can't do that.
Right.
Yeah. But I also think that, like, TV shows, because I'm, obsessed with The Office.
Right. Me too.
And I wonder where that comes from. But I think, like, I think there's a lot about rewatching TV shows that, I mean, I've seen in tons of people. I don't think it's just an ADHD thing to rewatch TV shows. And maybe some people with ADHD, like, hate that because it's too boring. I don't know. But for me, I think I rely on TV shows a lot, especially ones that I've seen that I can kind of keep in the background and tune out some places and tune back in others. Like, because it helps me with time, which is definitely probably the most impairing part of my ADHD. It's like, I have no sense of time. So if a TV show is playing, like, I know how long an episode is. Like, I know how much time is passing, you know? Like, whereas, like, if it's just me, like, 4 hours feels like 10 minutes, and 10 minutes feels like 6 hours. You know, there's no difference to me.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. When I listen to music, it's kind of the same thing. Sometimes, like, I'll choose an album or something to listen to, like, while I'm grading papers or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'll find myself, like, kind of going back and forth, like, oh, this is a good song, or, like, oh, I love this riff, or, like, that kind of thing, and then, like, kind of going back and forth. But sometimes, actually, maybe most times, like, when I actually start to grade fully, and then I stop grading, and then it's, like, 7 songs later. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, whoa, okay, so I got really into that right there. Like, okay, so that was a thing. And then it makes me realize as well that I didn't really need the music. It was just something to get me there.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So, and I think that's probably what, like, TV shows, like, especially, like, episodes and stuff and TV shows that we've seen, like, over and over, like, it's that kind of, like, what you were saying, it's our metronome. It's just kind of something to get you there.
And, like, keep time.
Yeah.
Similar to metronome.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, once that's there, and then you can kind of, like, you can space out for 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, especially with Netflix or something,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
Like,
it just keeps playing.
It just keeps playing.
And that's a good point about, like, having something to get you in until you get hooked, right? Because I think a lot of us find that it's the getting started, especially when we're not interested in it, that's really challenging.
Yeah.
But once we're in there and can get hooked onto something, we can do it.
Right.
So yeah, I think music is a good example of one of those, like, hooks that you've created to get you in there.
Yeah.
You mean that's true?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that's kind of like watching TV shows over and over. I listen to albums over and over. Right? So, like, I'll just listen to an album over and over, so I'll know all the lyrics to an album. Like, I'll know which song comes next, like, and, like, all that kind of stuff. You know, I'll know the whole track, the whole set. And then once you kind of feel that comfort, and then one thing that I find really funny is when I can read something and sing along at the same time.
Wow.
That's like,
that's
yeah.
Skill.
Yeah. I don't know if it's skill or just maybe, like, I just listened to that album way too much and it's like, it's
yeah,
just
like
in my head.
Memory.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why I always have a song in my head.
I wonder if that's an ADHD thing too, because I feel like that's something I see in ADHD Facebook groups all the time, is that, like, oh wait, we talked about this the other day. Right? Like, something will get stuck in our heads.
Ah, yeah.
Right? I see that a lot, and I don't really know what that is.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I think it probably comes back to, like, that inability to regulate, right? Like, regulate attention. It's just kind of, like, it's just going to keep going over and over, like, whether it's a song or a phrase, even, some people will say that gets stuck in their heads,
right.
Or, yeah, so it's, maybe it's just something about that. Like, you can't, I don't know. Turn that off and turn something else on. It's just out of your control, maybe. I don't know.
Right, right.
But it's very interesting. Because I always have a song stuck in my head, too.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, whether it's a song. And oftentimes, like, I don't even know what the song is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'll just like wake up being like, da, 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 da. What is that? What's that from?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find is it a song or because you like, you know, write and dabble in music as well.
Yeah.
So do you kind of come up with songs like that or is it often just a tune you heard?
Yeah, sometimes it's both. You know, sometimes I mix them. Like sometimes I'll start singing a song and then I'll go off into my own like little solo kind of thing. And then I'll be like, oh man, I really, that's a nice little range to whistle in. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. Like for example, like in, that cartoon Robin Hood, right? Like do, do, do,
do, do. Oh my gosh. Do,
do, do, do. Sorry. That's going to be in your head for a while.
Yes. No.
Yeah. But yeah, like I'll just those first few bars and then I'll dance all around it and I'll just kind of like maybe do some swings, some whistles, and then I'll like do, I'll start tapping along and then I'll get like lost in the taps and then and then I'll forget that I was whistling the Robin Hood theme and then I'll just kind of and then I'll think of another song. Oh man, it's just a constant like CD or show going on.
That's so true. I think that's something that's so cool about ADHD is the ability to take something ordinary or existing and then just, you know, even just accidentally do like a weird spin on it because we misremember it or like, you know, we just get wrapped up in our own little worlds or we just see it differently.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Do you find that you have moments when if you need to concentrate, you can't be listening to anything?
Yes.
What are those moments? I haven't figured that out for myself, really.
And it's funny, because when I was grading papers recently, right, I needed to remove myself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was, I don't know if it was just one thing too many that was going on, or maybe I found myself just real, there was too many excuses not to do it, and I was like, you know what? I need to just remove these excuses because they were excuses and not aids, you know, because like
or distractions,
right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I don't know. It was, I don't know if it was just maybe in the place that I was at or, you know, it probably had something to do with. It probably had something to do with the couple of papers that I was reading required a little bit more mental attention.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like I really need to just sit down and figure out what this student is saying. I need to actually dedicate a little bit more time because going back to like interest and importance driven kind of thing, right? Because this was something important that this was something that was important to somebody that was important to me,
right?
And that made it even more pertinent that I needed to spend more time on it.
So I know you removed yourself from us, probably whatever we were doing, which makes sense. Yeah. Were you also not able to listen to music during those papers?
I was still listening to music.
Okay, so music is your constant.
Right, yeah, music is my constant, yeah.
Interesting.
I actually found this album, I can't remember it now, but it's like, kind of, it's pretty vanilla, you know? Like, it's nothing too special. I don't even really like listening to it that much. But it's just some good jams kind of thing. Like, it sounds like a bunch of guys got together in a garage and, like, making some music that sounds good to them, you know? And, like, there wasn't that much substance to it, but it flowed. It was, an hour and 45 minute album, so like it gave me some ample time to like I didn't like lose myself and then need to change the album. I could stay there and like I can be like, oh well, the album's not finished, neither am I, like,
oh yeah, so it's another way to keep time,
right? Exactly. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, I do that with running too. Like I like to run for the length of an album.
Oh, an album, huh?
Yeah. So I'll choose an album, and I'll be like, oh man, am I gonna run for over an hour? Pfft, no way. Like, so I'll choose the album, be like, okay, it's like a 35-minute album. Yeah, okay, let's do that. Yeah, and then if I'm running,
it's a short album.
Oh yeah, no, that's is how it? Albums usually are, like 35 to 50 minutes. Like,
oh man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a while. I guess we were just talking about that. Yeah, I don't listen to albums anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, CDs are, like, a thing of the past.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, even, like, on the Victrola, right? Like, mm-hmm. where, at that place, right? On each side was, like, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, it was really short.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I could probably stand running for that long.
Right.
Yeah. And that's so interesting, because, like, one of the classes that I took for my ADHD certification kind of talked about, it was just a bunch of, like, tips for executive function, I think. Mm. And one of them was using a playlist that you're familiar with so that you know, like, when this song comes on, that means I have 5 minutes left or whatever. And, like, having, like, a shower playlist or, like, a get ready in the morning playlist. So you know what you should be doing at each point. Yeah. So maybe that's something that helps, too. Like, when I hear this song, I know I should, you know, turn around and go home or something like that.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's interesting. And in terms of stimulation, another, was it a different one? It might have been the same class. He was talking about, like, what is a helpful fidget, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what is a helpful, like, extra stimulation that helps focus rather than distracts? And he was saying that how you can tell, like, what makes a good fidget is something that is, obviously, like, not disruptive, right? It doesn't, like, take a lot of, you know, attention or focus or energy to look at, and uses a different sense than the one you want to be using at the moment.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, listening to a conversation and also music, that wouldn't work. You're trying to listen to different things at once.
Right.
But,
right.
like, listening to someone talk while, like, doing something with your hands, that could work.
Right.
So maybe, like, reading an essay, also listening, maybe those are different enough to.
Which is actually why I think I find it super stressful being out in public, like, in COVID, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because of, like, you can't look at people's mouths.
Yes.
And so it's just an overload of hearing.
Mm.
And I'm just like, wait, what? No, sorry. I'm hearing 17 sounds right now, and
I don't know where I'm
coming
from.
The smallest one is the one you're coming out of your face. So
right.
Oh, it's so overwhelming.
That is really true. Yeah, that's tough. And yeah. I think it's like it does. I don't have any basis for this, but I wonder if, like, people with our types of brains, like, we do rely on those, like, nonverbal cues a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just people in general. Maybe everyone's having trouble with this, and I just don't hear about it. But, like, yeah. You know, there's so much of communication and, like, tuning into your environment that happens with the bottom part of your face that if you can't see it with a mask, it's really hard. And it takes twice, you know, twice or three times the amount of energy to, like, get by.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even just going into, like, a place where they don't speak your language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, where I feel like I, in my experience, like, I have been able to get by because of, like, context clues and mm-hmm. because of gestures and, like, intonation and, like, these, like, I can tell when somebody's making a joke, and so I can kind of be like, haha, like, to kind of, like, let people know that I'm tracking, like, with you, but I might need a little bit more explanation or something, you know?
Mm.
So, and something that's super useful, like, in cross-cultural scenarios. But it's pretty tricky.
Yeah. I think that also comes back to, like, the use of how you've adapted to rejection sensitivity, that you're, like, because maybe you tend more towards people-pleasing, like, you are very, very good at picking up on people, yeah. like, what they mean, what they're saying, what they need, what they're expecting from you, and, like, that helps a lot in cross-country, like, international expeditions,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, I don't feel like I'm as good at.
Mm.
I definitely think that, like, emotional hyperarousal especially has like has helped me tune into people and like pick up on things other people miss, but like yeah, so that's just so interesting because I think that RSD is one of the reasons why I don't travel as much as I don't know, would want to maybe.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting that your response to RSD has really helped you travel like a lot.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So like that whole like wanting to appease or mm-hmm. wanting to fit in, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wonder if actually it kind of stems from, you know, how we were talking about how like my middle school experience was just like kind of really bad. Mm. And like just that kind of need to fit in, you know, mm-hmm. like figuring out ways to fit in and like just picking up on the things that people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. It's kind of funny because I feel like I do that very well with like swearing and like vocabulary and language and that kind of stuff. Because it's like you can tell when somebody is either uncomfortable with swearing or not really, or would think that it's just inappropriate.
Mm.
And like, and it's really funny sometimes because sometimes it'll slip out
mm-hmm.
or something like that, and then you gauge that first reaction, and then it's like, oh, okay, so I can swear now. Right. Okay, so now my vocabulary has widened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good example mm-hmm. of, like, feeling out the tone in the context of a situation.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah, it is even interesting, because, like, you and I, when we're talking normally, not in a stuffy closet
mm-hmm.
with a microphone, I mean, I think we swear a lot more than what we're doing right now.
Oh, totally.
Which is so interesting because, like, I didn't tell you don't swear. You know, like, I didn't tell you, hey, if you're going to be on my podcast, you better not swear. Like, I didn't do that.
Right.
But
right.
It was something that you picked up and it just happened in our conversation.
Right.
And personally, it is something that, like, it's something that I was aware of because if I swear, then I have to put the explicit thing on my podcast episode.
Yeah. Oh, see, I didn't even realize that.
Right, which okay. I didn't even tell you that.
Yeah.
It was just something that you picked up on, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about, just like the topic of swearing in general, makes me think about how I do think that there are people with ADHD who, because of, you know, the tendency to impulsivity and the difficulty with, like, filtering and regulating attention, they might struggle with, like, picking up on what contexts are okay to swear
mm-hmm.
and like limiting themselves in some contexts and not others. And like, so, I mean, with that in mind, like do you deal with like impulsivity at all?
Yeah.
Or is that just not something that resonates with you?
It's definitely something I have to be consistently cognizant of.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, I often feel that, like, especially, like, in a classroom scenario
yeah.
or something like that, like, sometimes, I remember specifically, like, in high school, like, in chemistry class, I only took chemistry once because I sucked at it, right?
Ugh, same.
Yeah.
I don't get chemistry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I did okay in the class, but I think I only did okay because I was, like, the most annoying student. Like I would get to this point where I would just be like yo, Mr. K, I don't get what you're saying right now. Like, can you just like back up? Can you explain it differently? Like, because
mm-hmm.
it seems like everybody else gets it, but I'm lost. So, but yeah, like I definitely feel, especially when I don't get things.
Mm.
I really need to bring my impulsivity into check.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's something that sends you kind of, not off the deep end, but like...
I mean, a little bit.
One of your, like, triggers in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I either shut down and don't try to understand
right,
it.
That's what
right?
I usually do, yeah.
Yeah. Or I feel a little bit comfortable to be like, oh, wait, no, like, let's try and understand this right now. Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe it'll be a little bit abrasive. And then if I get down that train, or if I get down that path far enough, mm-hmm. then it's, like, it can get a little bit ugly.
Yeah.
You know? Because then I either start getting it, and then I'll kind of maybe go on a little bit of a rabbit hole and be like, oh, snap, so that's this and this is that.
Yeah.
So does that mean that this could mean that? And then I'll just start, keep asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll get even more frustrated.
Yes.
And I'll be like, no, you're not listening to my question. That's yeah. not answering me. Like, ugh.
Right, which is triggering for me because it makes me feel stupid.
Exactly.
Which is a really triggering feeling for me.
Yeah, yeah. And that happened, that's actually happened to me recently.
Mm.
What was it? I think it was actually about, I think I was teaching some friends, like, Spite and Malice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
Spite and Malice is a card game that our family plays.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry
about that. Not, people. Apparently no one else in the world knows. I don't, right, we don't right. know where it came from.
Yeah, well, was it Grandma's Grandma?
Yeah, like, way back.
Yeah.
Maybe she made it up. It's unclear.
Yeah, she probably made it up. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's just kind of like, you're just counting ace to queen. Well, anyway, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll save that for my Spite and Malice podcast.
And I started getting frustrated because it happened, like, three separate occasions where I'd explained the game and I thought I was explaining it super clearly, and, like, it would just happen again and again and again where people would just be like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, wait, what are you talking about?
Mm.
And I'll be like, is it the way that I'm explaining it? Like, am I just that unclear?
Does that hit your people aren't listening to me trigger?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, if they actually engage in that a little bit, then it's more so like, oh, wow, so I really just am terrible at explaining. And then it's more like
I suck.
A depletion of self-worth. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really it can go either way, but it's all negative.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's like there's no good route, but then it comes back to, like, your that coping skill of RSD, of, like, waiting for the lull, like, okay, this feels like either interpretation in my brain of the scenario right now ends with there's something wrong with me. Like,
right.
Either people aren't listening to me, so they don't care about me.
Right.
Or, like, I just really suck all around, and I just can't explain things. But, like, do you find that after the lull you can be like, oh, maybe they just don't get it? Like, and that's possible.
Yeah.
It's no one's fault. They just don't understand it, or they need more time, or they need more, you know, examples. They need to play a minute and get the hang of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how the more conversations we have about this, because, you know, you and I have been having these conversations, and but it is really cool to have some more language to kind of talk about the stuff that we've seen for a long time.
Right.
You know, like, we were just talking about the example of the other day. I don't remember what it was, but someone said something, and obviously I took offense to it, and, like, I felt rejected. And so I made a snarky comment. I don't know. I think it was something about the clothes I was wearing. So I was like, oh, well, you know, is this okay? Like, you don't like my clothes or something.
Mm.
And my mom said, oh, RSD. which really helped, actually. I was like, darn it. Like, part of me was like, yeah. I was like, darn it, I should not have talked to you about that. And then, like, part of me was like, I'm really glad I talked to you about that.
Yeah.
Because it did kind of snap me out of it. And so I think the more that we have this, you know, vernacular to kind of put language to what we've been experiencing us for so long, I think the better it can get, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe, so much for being here. And I can't speak for my listeners, but I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to having more. I wish you lived closer so you could be my permanent co-host.
Me too.
But, I mean, maybe as we tool around with technology some more, maybe we can make that happen some more often. But yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you want to plug or any final thoughts that you have that you want to say?
First of all, thank you. I really love this. I mean, I think it's something really special to be on the podcast stage and have a conversation like this, because it causes us to be a little bit more articulate.
Mm.
And it also, it's just really fun. You know, I've always loved having conversations with you, especially about our unearthing our ADHD tendencies.
Neuroses. Yeah.
Neuroses, yeah. yeah. But, yeah, no, thank you. And I can't wait for more episodes coming out. And, yeah. And I would also love to be that co-host, too. Maybe we'll do, like, a...
Be so fun.
Yeah, like a Zoom... something on Zoom or Google or whatever. I don't know.
There is stuff that you can record both ends.
Mm.
Honestly, I have to relearn recording every single time I do it just by myself. Honestly, so it might take a minute for me to figure out how to do that. But
oh, for sure.
Glad you're interested. Oh, so yeah. That would be super fun.
Yeah.
But
yeah, thank you.
And yeah, thanks. I'm glad that we could like record some of the conversations we're having all the time anyway.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
That was awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode, but there is plenty more at my website, theadhdmanual.com. That's theadhdmanual.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit at The ADHD Manual. Do you have a question, comment, or story? Then I want to hear it. Email me at theadhdmanual@gmail.com. Very special thank you to my brother, Joe Miner, for composing this theme music, and thank you so much for listening. And remember to be kind to yourself. See you next time.